both issues around student housing before we run it through them in the infrastructure presentation. And one of the comments was around the 38% population that has not completed grade 12. I just want to be clear, post-school education and training is about everybody who's gone to school. So it's not that these people can't access post-school education anymore. They can't access post-secondary education and training. So I think we just need to be clear about that. And that is the importance of the community education and training colleges. These are the colleges that we have to develop. We're starting off from an almost zero base, and therefore it's really important that we develop the right kinds of qualifications at those colleges to support real access to skills that will be productive for the economy. I think the second one is around the idea of partnership that was mentioned a couple of times. Absolutely. There's no way that the post-school education and training system can be fully funded by government and only government. We have to find collaborations and partnerships across the system in all kinds of ways, with the private sector, with foundations and philanthropy. We need international partnerships as well, and we need to look at how we collectively, from across government, support the development of training. So that's not just about higher education and training. It's science and innovation for research. It's agriculture, forestry and fisheries, environmental sciences, etc., etc., for all the different skill needs that are required. So I think that's absolutely critical. From the department's point of view, we have put in place three specific focuses on collaborations and partnerships. The one is through the University Capacity Development Program, which is working in universities, that's looking at international partnerships to help fund the development staff at institutions. The student funding, looking at this larger ecosystem. We have started a team together with the private sector and philanthropies and foundations to look at how we can try and lever different funding towards the student funding ecosystem, and then the student housing infrastructure program, we're looking at partnerships to improve funding there. There were a couple of questions about the fee commission and what has government done about that. Just to reiterate that government analyzed the fee commission report at the end of 2017 and made decisions around how to take this forward. There were a number of things that came out of it. First, there was the implementation of this new funding that we're dealing with, which is really about providing full cost of study funding for poor and working class students. So that was a huge change, a sea change, actually, in the system. Secondly, additional funding for TVET. This is working towards 80%, the 80% of funding over a 5-year period, and then the 20% from that. It means 100% funding for all of those funded programs at TVET within 5 years. The last one was this issue about additional funding into funding for higher education, working towards 1% of GDP. So there were substantial things that came out of that. And including that was the additional funding for TV in terms of infrastructure. I think that the next one really is about the fees and the fees getting higher and higher. On the KFC, I think it's important to recognize that since 2016, there has been a compact on university fees. They're not just getting higher and higher. There has been control over that period of time. And we've actually kept it below inflation, the increase. So I mean, that's an important thing to recognize. And then the other thing is that's why we're in this process around fee regulation. equalizing fees, but making fees more reasonable across the system, and ensuring affordable higher education in the future. It is a problem that we can't control private accommodation. It's not controlled by government. And that is something that private providers need to start thinking about. How do they create quality accommodation for their clients? And that, I think, might be dealt with as we have more and more accommodation that's available at university owned. It is a challenge. I think the other issue is, I think you're absolutely right. Around the idea that we can't just keep throwing money at the problem, we have to understand that problem, we have to work towards developing it. And part of what we had said right at the beginning of the introduction was the importance of understanding how we take the opportunity of the funds that are available now to ensure that we focus on capacity development for the system. Because without capacity, it's not going to be helpful. We want access, but we want access where students are given a good opportunity of succeeding. And so we will, you know, that's something that we are all committed to, I think, in this room, and it's certainly something that we're going to have to think about. It also leads to this issue of responsiveness of institutions, of PCET institutions. That is something that's embedded in our new plan for post-school education and training, which we hope will be published soon. Minister indicated in his budget vote speech that it will be done. But we are looking at how do institutions become responsive to the needs of society and particularly linked into their locality. So, for example, when we have a TVA college, the kinds of programs that we need to offer, the kinds of programs that we need to real skills that will need to employment. And that is something that we are have to work on, and that is embedded in the plan going forward. I think this issue of equalizing funding on a rural country is a difficult one because, you know, funds come from the vote. Without the funds, NSFAS or institutions can't actually equalize the funding. So what we've got is we've got a certain pot of funding, and we have to work with that to create policies that are transparent and as fair as possible and support students the best way that we can. So I think that's really also a role of Parliament to assist in terms of finding ways in which we can better fund poorer students to succeed in universities and teaching colleges. I think the issue of the Fees Commissioner, this relationship between the dropout rate of students and funding, I think we have to understand that there are multiple reasons for dropout. The department does cohort study every year so we can track how dropouts are happening. And it's clear that there are different elements in here. Firstly, we know that students come from schooling with a good academic background. No matter what their economic background is, they're more likely to be at university. So when you look at the super grades for things like the NGCHB, accounting, engineering, those professional programs which have high requirements, we've got better super grades. We also know that students are funding to better. The NSFAS cohort study shows it. Even with the cap that was in place before, students who were funded to NSFAS are getting through the system at a much higher rate than the students who are not. And then the last one, we know as well that students are supported with psychosocial and academic support also to get. So where we have good first year experience programs, where we have share from me, and I'm going to hand over to the Minister. We are engaging with other tech innovation companies to assist us to
we are operating under the theory that we can only fund the student by the university is registered. And that makes that we're thinking in relation to the BCU and BCT. I said, is there not a way that we can register students off-site? We don't have to come to university to register, because then the mechanisms will kick in much easier for us to fund it. But it is indeed a problem that students don't even have money to come to campus to register. And that is something that we have to pay attention to find a way around that. And I know a lot of people that borrow money and that fund that's real difficulty for them to get campus to register. Now we also use our data for intervention where we have low just add to my simple. The TVET environment, if there's 100,000 students working in a jam, it's going to be a problem, because that will mean that we have to have people working 24 hours a day to register them, to process the information, to pay them. But we should be getting, we should not be getting such large numbers of workers. But the data that we use at the moment for our application analysis certainly has that in us towards the areas that we have to intervene. So we don't just buy this in going. We address, we look at low even right to schools where we see zero applications. And we provide the data to the ABCs to ask them to assist with that. The overall of reference, but one of the terms of reference of that legislation for the second term, but also for the first term, is to establish a ministerial commission of inquiry to look at the future of reference. Future shape, size, and systems. It's a complete review required. Because one of my biggest fears is that once we leave that frustration, the place will collapse again. And that is absolutely necessary that we have complete stakeholder engagement on that to make sure that we leave a place that's sustainable and that we love it. Now, I want to talk to this 40,000 students that's gone away, because I am extremely concerned. Thank you. also are still